Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
46% of Americans expect to leave behind financial obligations when they pass away, so it's crucial to make sure your family is financially protected. Policy Genius helps you find the right life insurance coverage by comparing options from America's top insurers with help from licensed, award-winning agents. Secure your financial future with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get free life insurance quotes in just a few clicks. That's policygenius.com.
We're giving away the secrets to our method of digitally and physically finding big bucks on public ground.
This mini-series is powered by Onyx, and we deep dive into what we look for on a map, how we scout it in person, and what pins we use to help us effectively hunt deer.
This is
Public Pins. Today we are going to talk about the landmarks, the grand marks, the landmark trees of public land. This might not always apply to where you live. You might live in the big woods, you might hunt the big woods, what have you, so it might be a little bit difficult, but there are places in this world where trees are rare.
Yeah.
And maybe not even on a grand scale, but you might find a 80-acre CRP field that has one tree in the middle of it. That right there is going to become, or has become, a landmark tree at this moment in time. So, Tyler, can you explain what a landmark tree really is?
A landmark tree is a, and this could be different things, it could be things that are not trees, but essentially a landmark tree is something that kind of sticks out on the horizon a lot of times. And I think deer have a horizontally shaped pupil. They see things on horizons really well, and they see and notice when a stick or a tree or something sticks up above that, the rest of the horizon. So for the listener here, what that has to do with deer hunting is that a lot of times deer are drawn to that thing that sticks up above the tree line. They're curious. They have all day to do things like that and just go exploring. And I think that they tend to be drawn to a tree that is either taller than the rest of the trees in a tree line or taller than the grassland habitat around it. And so that's kind of what a landmark tree is.
I think that one of the big reasons that they use them is for navigation. I think that a lot of times in a monotonous style habitat or even just rolling prairie country, deer like to have a fixation on what they're headed towards. And it seems to me that, like, if you have a big, tall grass field, deer are going to kind of hopscotch from tree to tree until they get to the destination they want to go to.
Yeah. I mean, if you've ever been in, like, say, a big CRP field, you can see that there are trails everywhere in that thing a lot of times. And for deer, you know, they can follow a trail really easy, but they're not quite as, like, stuck to a trail as a cow is. You know what I mean? They're not going to just sit there and burn this trail and, you know, for 20 years into the same spot and every cow follow that trail across this wide open pasture. And so I think you're right, man. I think it does, like, help them navigate as they wander back and forth across these open landscapes a lot. So with that said, I think another reason why these landmark trees exist is that once they get to that landmark tree, there is often a scrape there, and it's a means of communication for these deer out on open landscapes and in other landscapes. I mean, we've got these landmark trees at home. We hunt the post oak region of Texas, so there's a lot of sizable trees, you know, like we've got 50, 60 foot oaks, you know, and we could consider hunting some of this stuff like big woods a little bit. But there's also, you know, and especially on WMAs, they manage these properties to be burned and slash and burned. And there are different, you know, landscapes that come up where we've got different kinds of plum thicket. We've got sumacs and we've got blackberry thickets, willows coming up and this stuff. And then they may be all like 6-8 foot tall. And then you've got this random post oak that they left to try to create this, like, you know, blackland prairie post oak region. And we still see that at home, you know. So it doesn't have to be Nebraska. It doesn't have to be Kansas or North Dakota or whatever. So anyway, I think this is something that can be used for sure. And I think these deer are going to communicate with these through scrapes and through the preorbital gland that they use when they go up and make scrapes, essentially. So in what situation, KC, are you looking at a landmark tree as being probably your primary choice to hunt?
I think the answer to this is going to be kind of one that happens a lot, but when a landmark tree is on the trail that is a bed to feed pattern, it's a great place to be because, A, it's a place you can actually get a saddle or a tree stand or whatever in, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think also during the rut, it's a killer thing because it's the rut is a social event, right? It's just like whenever, you know, young people are trying to find a person to get married to. It's a social event. Everybody goes out and they're all communicating, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing for deer, right? They're trying to find a lady or 12 for that fall. So they're going to go to the place that's a social place. And I can think back to a stand that we hunt in Kansas that we actually hunt pretty close to a bait station, but I think that's already really good because it is a landmark tree. Mm-hmm. And those deer just come and stand at the base of it. Like, you'll have does that just stand there for no reason. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of, like, waiting on somebody to come by and say hi, you know?
Yeah. How high does this rank when you go into a place? I think for me, I guess also before we get to that, like, I'm hunting a landmark tree. A lot of times there are situations where I'm like, man, that looks great. But a lot of times a landmark tree, or sometimes at least, is a spot that I want to hunt because there's not hardly any other good options. You know what I mean? And so, like, if you are in open country or there's really not a place to get between deer and where they're going in a tree, that landmark tree is the option. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, with that, let's talk about, like, how this ranks in your system. And we're talking 1 to 10, 1 being the best, right?
Yeah, man, that's how I do it, at least. If yeah. I get a little bit confusing, but, 1 is the best in my book, and it's going to be hard for me to rank something as 10 on this because I like all the ideas, right? But I'm going to say landmark trees are lower on my scale of, like, places that I hunt. I think it's exactly like what you said. It's the thing that you say, well, I'm not finding a lot else to do right here.
Right.
So
right.
this and there might be situations where this, like, say you're hunting a marsh in southern Wisconsin, like, those landmark trees, if you look on the map, seem to be money spots, right? But in general, I would say this is a 7 to 8 type thing, you know? Like, it's a prime, it's a number one location for trail cameras. If you're looking to hang a trail camera and you're on your OnX map and you're trying to find a spot to hang a camera, like, landmark trees are money. But as far as actually hunting, I think that there's a lot of nighttime activity that goes on at landmark trees, so I think that might be one of the things that kind of is a drawback about it, but it's still a spot.
Yeah, I think, to me, I think that the one of the best redeeming factors that a landmark tree has is that the deer is going to be on top of you. Like, they're going to come in and like, he's coming to your tree, right? He's not going on the trail that's 45 yards away or whatever. So you're probably going to get a shot at him. And we'll talk a little bit more about what you know, how to hunt a landmark tree. But first, I kind of want to talk about how do we find these landmark trees on a map?
Yeah, how are you finding them on the map? You've hunted a lot of open country stuff. So.
It's you know, there's a couple of different ways to find them. You can find them by accident if you're following trails, you know, if you're zoomed in and stuff. Yeah. I think that, you know, people talk about hub scrapes up in the Midwest a lot, right? These big, huge scrapes that have multiple trails coming in from them. Or into them and, you know, coming in from different directions. So I think that a lot of times what you know, you got to do is if you're looking at a big, you know, 160 acres of CRP grass and there's a couple of trees on it, you probably need to zoom in and see if there's trails. And if there's trails coming in on, like, you know, into a hub situation there and it looks like the spokes of a wheel, then that's a landmark tree. That's a tree that deer come into from all different directions to pass by, to make scent, to communicate with each other, all the things that we said. So, I mean, that's one way to find them. A lot of times also, in certain like river bottoms and stuff, you could, you can see where some of these river bottoms have maybe smaller trees. So say a lot of, elms, maybe ash, you know, we see cedar elm thickets back home a lot, and then all of a sudden you'll see a big oak or a big cottonwood tree or something like that. And a lot of times that big giant tree, it's not, it doesn't stick out on the map until you really start zooming in and looking at what kind of trees are these. Can I tell, you know? So it's a little less obvious at first, but if you see that big oak or whatever, that big cottonwood, you see those trails coming in, and it's that's a good way to find that landmark tree on a map, I guess.
I feel like as far as the hot spots that we talk about that you can identify on the map, landmark trees are one of the easiest things to actually find on a map because it's pretty easy to look at a fairly open landscape and find the couple trees on a map, right? Yeah. So if you're new at this or you're trying to find a place to hang a trail camera and get some deer on camera, it's a really, really great thing to key in on.
Yeah. So talk about a few things that happen when you get there, what you're looking for, and you're obviously thinking about hunting, so how we hunt it too.
Yeah, I think one of the things you have to make sure that you're prepared to take a close shot, like you were talking about. If you're hunting a landmark tree, you have to also make sure that you have shots out of that landmark tree. We have a Bad the Bone landmark tree in Kansas that we hunt, but it's so thick and such a giant tree that your closest shot's like 35 yards out of that thing. And we actually, you hunted that spot and hunted a tree next to the landmark tree because this year, right? Because it's so difficult to get in that tree and make shots.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing you're going to find whenever you're you know, looking at these landmark trees, sometimes they're gigantic.
Yes.
And it's just not, there's some trees that are just too big to hang in.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like you can't get your ropes around them. You know?
Yeah. I think that's something to think about too, man. Is like a lot of times, maybe that landmark was left out there. Maybe it burned and the landmark tree lived through it because it was so big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just couldn't burn it up. Maybe the farmer left it there because he didn't want to take a chainsaw through a 3-foot diameter tree.
Yeah, didn't
or
have
whatever,
a dozer big enough to push it over.
That
you
too.
Know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of times you find that, and then there's other times when, you know, we have hackberries back home and lots of places we hunt. A hackberry tree is a great place to get some cover. It's also not a great place to get a lot of shots out of. You know, so you do have to worry about that when you're hunting. I think you also have to think about once you get there, kind of like with the fence crossings we talked about. You have to kind of figure out what the main trails are coming into that thing because you're going to have to blow your wind, right? And if you've got a hub scrape situation, there's a possibility of a deer coming in any direction, right? So you just have to – you got to say, which way am I going to sacrifice? You know, what am I going to – you know, I've got to blow my wind one direction. It's going to give me an opportunity to win certain deer, but, you know, is it the main trail that's coming in and out of this thing?
Yeah.
And so I think that's another thing that I would look for.
I think you need to probably identify if you're actually going to hunt from the tree, if you're going to hunt the tree from the ground near it. Because, you know, that's one of the things in the open country. I think hunting from the ground is very advantageous in some very unique situations, but in general, it's pretty difficult to make that happen. We kind of saw that this week. We're hunting turkeys, but so you need to kind of establish if you're going to hunt from the ground, from the tree, where the best place to do that is. And that kind of goes back to your wind direction thing. Like, you need to probably figure out which side of that tree you're going to try to set up, if you're going to set up a blind, or if you're going to make a natural blind, or just use natural cover and that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times you can find plum thickets and stuff, you know, in the Southwest. Like back home, we've got Chickasaw plums. They mm-hmm. make for pretty good cover as far as just getting down in the mix and making you a little window and shooting out of them, you know. So there's definitely different opportunities to hunt these landmark trees, and you pretty much know they're going to come to it. That's the beauty of a landmark tree. So,
and I guess when you get there to establish that something is a landmark tree, you kind of want to look for that deer sign around the tree too. Mm-hmm. You know, like sometimes it might be a landmark tree, but they might not be really spending much time there just because they're kind of just like going by it.
Yeah.
You know, I think the hot ones are the ones that have the scrapes on them. That's a big deal. And you're in the Midwest, a lot of times these landmark trees are going to have big gnarled branches on the bottom because it's every year those deer scraping and licking on that stuff.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about what you're marking once you get there and you find these different aspects that we've talked about.
Yeah. So, I think with this situation, your markings could get a lot different depending on what you find when you get there, right? Where you're going to have probably some sort of a white hot dot. You know, we've been using white for white hot, so you're going to have probably a white hot X on this thing as you walk up. And then you're going to walk around and probably establish if there's scrapes on the tree, establish if you could hang a stand or a saddle in the tree, and then decide maybe if you want to hang a trail camera in the tree. So if I'm going to think that I will actually hunt from the tree, I'll usually put the little tree stand icon on that tree to know that it's a place that I can hunt.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when I'm going in to look at a landmark tree, I will have a trail camera with me because it's a great place, like we said, to hang a trail camera.
Mm-hmm.
So if I hang a camera, I'll change the icon to a trail camera icon and usually denote that some way. In the past, we've usually done our trail cameras as a different color. That way it's just kind of quick and easy to decide that, oh, that's a trail camera one, so go pick that up. I think I've done them in, like, the teal color before or something. Mm-hmm. We don't have a really great organized. You know, maybe we need to write, like, an article or do a little graphic of, like, the best way to do the colors of your icons. That might be a separate thing that we do. Or if it's a spot that I see, like, scrapes on, I'll just mark the scrape, take a picture of it, and then if I decide I'm going to hunt from the ground there, I'll put a little ground blind icon at the spot that I think is going to be the best thing.
Yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts on that?
Kind of the same as I did with the fence crossings. Like, I'm going to mark the main trails, I think.
Yeah.
If I see, you know, the main trails that I feel like are being traveled into that thing, I would mark those. That way when I go back, I know which way the wind needs to be blowing, you know, and I know before I walk all the way into this landmark tree that I can go, that, you know, the wind's blowing this way today, I can hunt there today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably kind of the only other thought I have about that, you know. Another thing we maybe didn't talk about is, you know, a landmark windmill of sorts.
Ooh, yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It could be a landmark, and you're going to have water in that situation. But same deal, you know, I think everything kind of sets up the same. Multiple trails are going to be coming into it. Probably you mark the right trails. You find out if you can hunt there, and then you might put a trail camera on that windmill if you want to get some cool pictures.
What else have you seen be a landmark? You know, we always say landmark trees, and you said it can be other stuff. And I've seen a few things, but what else are you thinking on that?
Man, that's a good question. I think a lot of times what we see in certain parts of the country that have old homesteads is essentially a house is going to maybe it's the house or maybe it's just the tall trees, but
there's
essentially it's something that sticks up right in there.
There's some
right?
junk around or maybe barns, and I think deer feel good about, you know, bedding up against that or something.
Yeah, they're going to bed against farm implements and stuff like that a lot of times, you know, and get a little cover to the back or whatever. So I think, you know, those different things around those homesteads might be something. You got anything in mind that you know?
In open country, even a fence post can sometimes be a landmark because they're going to rub on it. It's the same social aspect, right? And usually those fence post rubs aren't like rage rubs as far as, like, you know, I'm mad, I'm going to tear this thing apart, but they're really rubbing their preorbitals on it. But they do it year to year, and you can find some really cool ones where they've, like, turned them into hourglasses and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the other one that I kind of think of in particular as being a landmark that deer will gravitate towards.
Yeah, for sure. I think the main idea is just to know that on a landscape, if something sticks up taller than the horizon, it's a lot of times it's got an attractive aspect to it for deer. So
if you're into this kind of stuff and feel like you need more, you can check out our Map Scout Challenge series on YouTube. These are the most comprehensive scouting videos on the internet.
Make sure and subscribe while you're there, and also remember, this is your element.
Live in it.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.